As a Christian, it's important to know what you believe and why you believe it. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to become rooted and grounded in our faith.
Is the Word of God dwelling in you richly? Is it illuminating your pathway? Are your decisions based upon the Scriptures? Are your ideals based upon what the Bible says? Or do you just kind of do what comes naturally? Do you just kind of do what your friends do? Do you just kind of do what they do on television? My friend, you and I need to be so filled with the Word of God that the light of the glorious gospel is shining the way for us to live tomorrow.
We live in a shallow and uprooted society, but as Christians, we can be firmly rooted in our relationship with Christ. In our series, Rooted for Growth, we will discover the nutrients we need to remain spiritually strong.
Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California.
If you don't have a healthy spiritual root system, then every part of your life is impacted negatively. Through today's scriptures, we will explore what it means to be a rooted Christian who is growing in the likeness of Jesus Christ. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Rooted in Grace.
I'm just saying today, I'm glad that Jesus didn't pay it in part, he paid it in full. So his Spirit empowers, his Spirit secures, his Spirit comforts, his Spirit guides. I'm just telling you that when you partake of the Holy Spirit, there's a provision of spiritual life. Look right here. There's no way that I can be spiritual by myself. There's no way that I can bear fruit that's truly pleasing to God by myself. But by his Spirit, I can live that way. And so the spiritual life. Then secondly, there are spiritual riches. God says, I'm going to provide spiritual riches. Look back at Ephesians 2 and verse 6. It says, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now, my friend, God says, I am going to give you a position. I am going to give you eternal spiritual riches and blessings. And the verse says in verse number 7, exceeding. I mean, beyond your imagination, I am going to invite you into my spiritual riches, presence, and forgiveness. The story is told of a little boy that lived in London, and more than anything, he wanted to see Buckingham Palace. This is before the time when they would maybe have some tours and so forth. This little guy was from the other side of the track, so to speak. Kind of a ragamuffin, they might have called him back then. But so he tried. He'd stand at the gate. He'd see those carriages go in and the royalty go in. And he just imagined what it must have been like in Buckingham Palace and how they might have lived. That little boy sometimes would try to sneak into that gate, hide behind the carriages, but the soldiers always caught him. Sometimes they just threw him outside and said, don't you ever do that again. You don't belong in here. Stay away from here. And they treated him in such a way that it hurt his heart. Still, he would gather around Buckingham Palace, and still, he would try to see as royalty would go in. One day, he was about ready to sneak in. The soldiers walked up and said, son, don't try it again. Right at that moment, a man reached down and took him by the hand. That man walked him through the gate. That man walked him to the door of Buckingham Palace, and he went in and he saw the bedrooms of the royalty, and he saw the dining rooms of royalty, and the parlors, and he saw the grounds manicured, the gardens, and he saw the room of the king. He saw it all. His heart was overwhelmed with what he saw, and he didn't really understand how he had the privilege of seeing it until he was told by someone that the man who had brought him in was none other than the Prince of Wales. I want you to understand this morning, there's no way that I ever had hope in heaven. There's no way I ever had a hope of seeing Jesus someday. There's no way I ever could have had my sins forgiven. I was that sinful little boy on the outside of the gate looking in. But one day, Jesus Christ reached down his scar-filled hands and took me by the hand. And he said, if you want grace, I've got grace. If you believe that I am the way, the truth, and the life, I can bring you in. And there is none other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. And that name is Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me, and I have no spiritual life and no riches of my own, but I'm glad that Jesus Christ reached down and he took me in and provided eternal life for me. And you might be here this morning separated from God and wondering how you could ever make it in. And there is a way. There is a way of grace, and there is a person of grace, and his name is Jesus Christ. Oh, how we thank him today. And then I want you to see finally, not only the payment of grace, the blood of Christ, not only the provision of grace, spiritual life, but I want you to see finally the product of grace, the product of grace. You know, the tragedy with many Christians is that their grace lasts from 11 to 12 on Sunday. Or if you go to Lancaster Baptist, from 11 to 12, 15. In other words, it's kind of like a spiritual high on Sunday, but what about after that? How many of you believe if God's grace is so amazing, it ought to make a difference tomorrow? Right? So I want you to see the product of grace. One more verse. Can we do one more verse? All right. Ephesians 2:10. You know verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works. It's not, you're not going to climb your ladder to heaven. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. But now let's look at verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now the product of grace is twofold. It's very simple. Stay with me. First of all, the product of grace is that we are his workmanship. We are those who are being crafted by a craftsman. He is shaping us and he is making us. And we are his work in progress. Now, God is not finished with us yet. How many wives can say of their husbands, God's not finished with him yet, Pastor? And how many of us can say, I'm not where I wish I was spiritually today? I think all of us, if we're honest, could say, I'm not where I wish I was. And I think all of us could say, you know, I wish I was growing more into the likeness of Christ, but I want to commend you with this much today. If you're saved, you're at least on the playing field. You may not have hit a home run or a grand slam, but hey, you're up to bat. Listen, if you're saved, you're in Christ. You're here today in the house of God. You're his workmanship, and God is working on you today. And we are his workmanship. Now, let me tell you something. He is the potter and we're the clay. And we would be wise to let God work on our hearts. And when we find ourselves skipping church, skipping Bible reading, saying, I don't need that preacher yelling at me. I don't need to go to church. I just think those guys are just way off. They're too involved. When we take that attitude, we're going to hinder our workmanship. Let me tell you something. The clay does not tell the potter what to do. Huh? The clay doesn't say, ooh, that hurt. Don't do that. I don't like how that feels. Clay says nothing. Clay allows the potter to have his way. We're his workmanship. God's working on us. He's trying to conform us to the image of his son, Romans 8:29. And God brings us to church, and sometimes a sermon, look at some of you just want me to stroke your ego, and sometimes you want to just laugh and have a good time. Sometimes we need to be shaping though, and we need God's word to mold us and help us to be more like Jesus Christ. I've got some good news for you. If you look in your notes, it's there in Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I'm just telling you, God started something in you the day you got saved, right? That's when it all started. But God said, I want you to know I'm going to keep working on you and keep working. You can run. You can go back to the old world. You can skip church, but you can't run from God. You can't run from the Holy Spirit. He's going to keep working on you. And you'd be wise to be like clay and let him work on you and let him develop you. Now, we are his workmanship. Now, watch this. Does God just want to create something so that we can sit here at church like a spiritual museum saying, look at us, we're his workmanship. Aren't I a fine piece of something? Is that the idea? No. We are his workmanship so that we can be, secondly, his workmen. There's a difference. We're his workmanship, we're his vessel, so that we can be his workmen, so that we can be used of God. The only way people that you live with are going to see the grace of God tomorrow is through you and me. Sharing the word in the Spirit. God says, you are my workmanship, but you are also my workman. So look at verse 10 once more, and we're almost done. Ephesians 2:10. And it says, for we are his, what's the next word? Come on, you got to help me. For we are his workmanship. That means we're the clay that he's molding and making. Created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good work. Say it again. Created in Christ Jesus unto? So God says, I want to work on you on Sunday so that I can work through you on Monday. God said, you're not just in church to kind of go through the motions. We need to get some Baptists out of the nursery today and out on the front line serving Jesus Christ. The idea is not, I go to church and they kind of help me. I just help me with my problems. All right, we all have problems. We all need help. But God has called every one of us to serve him. We are his workmanship. Yes, Lord, help me, mold me. But we're his workers too. And he says, I want you to go to work tomorrow, living for me and witnessing for me and telling others of me. I want you to do those good works. Listen, God does not save you and put you into the church so that you can sit, soak, and sour. Right? You ever meet somebody like that? Hey, how's it going? Fine. Are you a Christian? Yes. How long have you been a Christian? All my life. The Lord's in your life? Yes. You better tell your face about it. You ever meet people like that? Look it. God didn't save us so we can just kind of exist. He says, I got a job for you. I want you to do my work. Paul said in Ephesians 3:7, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, which was given unto me. Philippians 2:13, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. God says, hey, I want to work through you. Stop your complaining. Stop your gossiping. Stop your arguing. Stop your poor mouthing. I can do what you want me to do if you'll let me work through you. Yes, we're his workmanship. But we're his workmen to serve him. And I want you to understand this morning, this journey of grace, the payment of grace is the blood of Christ for our sin, the provision of grace, the riches of Christ for all of eternity. But the product of grace, if you're growing in grace, you're going to serve the Lord and exalt the Lord and lift him up in the Antelope Valley. And some are going to wave the flag of this and the flag of that. But somebody's got to stand up for Jesus, and that would be you and me. I mean, I'm going to tell you something about Christianity. There's a lot of Christians right now, perhaps some in this room, who get discouraged and they're not even planting. They're not even reading the Bible at home. They're not even praying. They're not trusting God. You almost have decided not to plant. A lot of churches not sending missionaries, not having soul winning. They've just decided they're not going to plant. This is not the year to say, I'm not going to plant. I'm not going to try. I'm not going to go to church. I'm not going to read my Bible. This is the year to plant deeper in Christ and grow deeper in the grace of Christ. And you're not going to have a harvest in September if you don't plant in June, if you don't pray in June, if you don't trust God in June. You're not going to have any fruit come September. And I just happen to believe if you decide I'm going to live for God intentionally, I'm going to be rooted in his grace, growing in his grace, God's going to bless that. God's going to do something with that. He can only work with people who are growing deep in his grace. And I pray today that we would grow in his grace.
You've been listening to the 15-minute edition of Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.